says, I'm for Matt and Sally. And I'm expecting Steve to show up, my boyfriend, because I have a date with him. But he isn't there yet. Then my mom appears and wants me to go down to
the... That's all on the phone with my mom.
Okay. My mom comes on the phone and says, I want you to go down to Lee-on-Sea with me tomorrow. Because there's so-and-so's, who's a friend of mine, her daughter is getting married. And I want you to go down to the wedding with me.
Well, she's there already with my dad. They still live there.
And they want you to come down there?
Yeah.
Okay. See how I never know what the hell's going on until I get it out of you. So, 70 says, I don't want to go. And then she says something that causes me to write down, for several of my own reactive reasons. I don't want to go down to the wedding.
I didn't say that. You wrote that. That was your words.
I said, you didn't hear me listen.
Oh, sorry.
Now say it again, okay, goddammit. I said, Stephanie said, I don't want to go. And then she said some things to me that I interpreted as for several of my own reactive reasons.
Yes, good, okay. Yes.
There's that same quality in that different sequence, right? Not wanting to do something or follow directions or...
Yeah. Rupert, the turning point is that Rupert is telling her what Dory is doing and of the importance of these objects.
Right.
And the importance of all of this here.
Yes.
And that's an invitation to go to higher hypothesis. That is, to go from a superficial awareness of what's going on there to a deeper, more profound awareness of what's going on there. Uh-huh. And so then she has the reaction, which stops that sequence and then starts a new sequence with her in the bath.
Right.
And playing with these things the way she wants to play with them.
Yeah.
Not the way... Not working with them in a more profound way.
Yes.
The way that she wants to do.
And similarly, in this sequence, she's being asked to go to the wedding, and she doesn't want to go.
She doesn't want to go, right. Now, the background to all of this is that Stephanie wants to be married and have children. And the background to this is also that she wants to open...
Institute.
An institute for tantric studies. Right. And that she wants to have not only one, but several of them around the world, and that she wants them to be all according to her design. Mm. Okay.
Very nice.
And this dream is then showing how to, what do you need to think and what do you need to do in order to do that. So, she says, my date didn't show up or my date gets canceled. So, I capitulate to my mother to go to the wedding. But I notice that I've got holes in my dress in the armpits.
Jesus.
Which is a reaction, right? I can't go to the wedding because I got holes in my dress in the armpits.
Right. And it's an emotional body thing in the armpits, right?
The dress is a causal body.
Dress is causal body, but the part of the dress that's over the it's a dreaming and mental state body part of the causal body. Uh-huh. So none of these things are all completely separate.
Uh-huh.
They're all separate, and they all have their separate identities. But none of them are completely isolated.
Sure.
They're not so separate from each other that they're completely isolated. They have to interact with each other.
Yeah.
And so each of them has certain aspects of the other inside of their own self. And Shankaracharya explains this all very well in his book called Atma Bodha, which means self-knowledge. And he talks... And he says exactly what percentage of the dreamings, what percentage of the supracausal body is in the waking state? What percentage of the causal body is in the waking state?
Really?
Yeah, he tells you exactly how.
I gotta write that down.
How much is in there?
Wow.
In the book called Atma Bodha, B O.
H D A.
B O D H A.
D H A.
Yeah, Atma Bodha. And Dom, we can go and get that book on East 94th Street at the Ramakrishna Center. Or we can get it online.
What's the title? Who is it by?
Shankaracharya.
Oh. And Atma Bodha means?
Self-knowledge.
Self-knowledge.
And that's the book in which he says, I'm writing this book so that the process of liberation can be easier for my disciples. And then he says, just as fire is the direct cause of cooking, so knowledge and no other form of discipline is the direct cause of liberation. Remember, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's that book. Okay, and it's a very beautiful book to read, the whole book.
Just as fire is the cause of cooking.
Is the direct cause of cooking. So knowledge and no other form of discipline is the direct cause of liberation. And knowledge is what you get in the space between. So, Stephanie doesn't want to go to the... She's agreed to go, but she still doesn't want to go. So, the going to the wedding is the higher hypothesis. Not going to the wedding is the reaction. Not the hypothesis, it's the reaction, which is supposed to be... reinforcing the hypothesis, and it's supposed to be reinforcing the power and the authority of the hypothesis, and the identity type reacts to not the higher hypothesis, but it reacts to the fact that when you experience the higher hypothesis, you go into the space in between for an infinitesimal moment that you can't remember. But the identity type notices that you're gone and that it has lost its interest, that you're not interested in it, and that it has lost its control over you. And so...
Then comes the reaction.
That is why it reacts. And it reacts because it just wants you to come back to identifying with it. And
so,
even
could you say then... through deduction, that the reaction only takes place when that occurs, when the identity type becomes frightened because the I is in the space between? Or does it react even when that doesn't happen?
There's nothing for it to react to if it doesn't react to that.
So that's proof then of the space between is always there.
Yes.
Then you always experience it in the dream.
That isn't deduction, Dominic. That's an insight.
That's insight?
Yeah.
Oh.
You got an insight there.
Yeah.
You had a hypothesis and a higher hypothesis, and you went into the space in between. You got an insight. Yeah, that goes beyond logical deduction.
Linear.
The identity type would never be able to conclude something like that by itself.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's really interesting.
That no kidding. I think so too. And that's why it's fun for me to be here with you, Dominic,
yeah.
To do that. Because that kind of stuff excites you and turns you on.
Because, man, that's space that's hidden from us. And it's like a... It's a puzzle to be...
Look at this. Isn't it beautiful,
it's
Stephanie?
It's something.
Dominic, this is so beautiful what you're doing here. I'm telling you, I live for this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like, to discover that, I mean, in your dreams, to be able to be aware of that space, that's worth living for. Mm. All by itself. That's such a mystery, you know?
Hooray! I love you, Dominic. I love you. That is so fucking great.
kissed Dominic and gave him a high five.
You're such a crazy bastard.
And now he says, I'm such a crazy bastard.
He That's thinks, why I love spending time with him.
He thinks I'm crazier than him, isn't that funny? Oh, and Stephanie also thinks that I'm crazier than she is, too. And look at her. She's all excited about this whole thing and delighted by it, too. Here we are sitting on your back porch, talking about the experience of God in the middle of ordinary life. And we're almost experiencing tears of joy.
But coming to us every night.
And that's what that's what makes us different to robots, you know, and to dogs.
Right.
And to monkeys.
Right.
That we can know this, you see, Dominic?
Yes.
That we can know this and we can become aware of it. And now you're saying, and what's what is really exciting too, is I want to learn how to become aware of that happening.
Yeah.
And you see what kind of conscious awareness is required, and a kind of a desire.
Yeah.
Now, when
it's why Kastanana took drugs.
When the woman said to Guru Mai, I don't have a reason to live. Can you give me a reason to live? And Guru Mai said, I live for God. That's the only reason that I have been able to find to live. Without living for God, I have no reason to live.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this picture here of Guru Mai and Baba behind her, and I'm thinking, how intelligent for you to have come to the place in your life where you have seen that every concept that ever arises in your mind that is imbued with this power to create a desire inside of you to move towards the object of your perception. And that every time that you have done that, you have been disappointed. And that every time that you have been aware of an intuition which creates a higher hypothesis to your hypothesis, and that creates a higher desire for you to move towards a higher ideal. And every time that you have ever done that, you have found that there's no fulfillment in that either. That it's only when you get into the space in between that you really get fulfillment. In other words, there's no fulfillment in any thought and its attendant desire that it awakens in us. There's no fulfillment in any intuition and its attendant desire that moves us. That the only fulfillment is in the experience of God. And the Guru Mai has come to the wisdom of being able to see that, so that no thought seduces her anymore. And that she says, life in this world is impossible without that experience of the Guru, without that presence of the Guru. I heard her say it with my own ears. Life in this world is impossible without the Guru. Because every sensuous desire that you have for this or that or the other leads to disappointment.
More frustration.
And this is what my conversation with Louisa was about today. You know, she's gone through how many boyfriends in the last 5 years?
A few, yeah. Not as many as me.
She's gone through how many?
I don't know, a few.
A few?
Yeah.
Well, I told her, well, the only difference between you and me, Louis, is that I married all of them, you know. And I got deeper into it because I even had a kid or two with them, you know, which was more and more fulfillment. But it all ended up in total frustration. And she says, well, I never have been able to get that far, and I'm still hoping to get that far. And I said, well, you can look at me. I got farther than you, but I never got what I wanted. And she's thinking that if she can get that she'll get what she wants.
Yeah.
So then I told her about Guru Mai. Guru Mai found that the only thing that makes life in this world possible is the guru. And I think that that's the truth. And when you experience the guru, then you can make a more beautiful world for everybody. But we're all, no matter how beautiful we ever make the world, we're never going to be satisfied without the experience of the guru. That kind of satisfaction isn't possible otherwise. Okay, so I just been reminiscing on all of this and rummaging through this morning, and I just came to this awareness. Look at how brilliant Stephanie's face is right now. Your face is full of light and happiness because Stephanie loves God. She loves God, with a pure heart. You know, I don't care what kind of a fucking horse she thinks she is. She's nothing but a pure angel, as far as I'm concerned. Give me five, Steph. Come on, honey. She's my baby. I love her. Okay, so
I can tell she's a pure heart.
Yeah.
Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, she definitely is. No matter what she thinks about herself.
Intuitive.
So this is all really exciting stuff. So here we are, and Stephanie's noticing that she's going to the wedding. She doesn't want to go up to the wedding.
But you see, this is interesting, because I would have thought that I'm actually attached to the marriage and baby thing in an identity kind of way. So it's fascinating to me that is her hypothesis.
That wanting to have a husband and a baby is a higher hypothesis.
Yeah, is that because it's a future thing and hasn't happened yet?
Yeah, but see, I just got through saying that Guru Mai found out that every desire that created an object of desire in a higher hypothesis, she found out that that also doesn't lead anywhere. And
if I'm married, I'm just married, and
you won't be fucking all those other beautiful guys that you like to see, that you like to look at. Look at what you'll be missing out on.
I had a dream last night, actually. I had another dream last night about fucking another guy and feeling guilty about it.
Oh, shit.
I've got a boyfriend now. That's the third night running.
I know that you have good reason to think that you're a whore, Stephanie, but really you're not.
That doesn't mean shit.
No, it doesn't. But see, this is the idea.
Well, because if having that desire of having a husband is like you're looking outside of yourself for your fulfillment, and
also
beautiful too, because two people can make a unit. Mm. Two people can be so complementary of each other that it's just very fun to be around somebody like that, even though problems will arise. So it's not an unreasonable thing to desire.
It's not an unreasonable
thing. And most people desire it.
And God wants us to do that because God creates that desire. God creates that higher hypothesis.
Yeah.
He made us male and female because He wants the continuity of the universe.
Yeah. Shiva and Shakti.
But you have to also understand that is not going to be, there's going to be no ultimate fulfillment in
that. Sure. But if both people know that and can still live together, what a beautiful relationship that would be.
Right. And it's a higher form of beauty than not having it.
Yeah.
It definitely is creating a higher form of perfection and a higher form of beauty than existed before. But nevertheless, it isn't ultimate.
No.
And Dominic knows now because Dominic, his wife has gone to Scientology, and his son and daughter are in Scientology, and now here he's sitting, and he's having hypotheses about them, experiencing hypotheses about them, and he's experiencing also higher hypotheses about them, and he's finding that he's still drawn towards objects of his desire in relationship to them that are unattainable for him. And so he's still working towards not only his own perfection, but he's still working towards the perfection and the beauty of them and their life, and so on and so forth. And that is infinite.
Yeah.
We will all, I'm doing this for me, Don. I know I'm boring you a little bit.
No, mine's going.
But we will never get to that ultimate desire. We'll never get to the ultimate fulfillment. so that we have the most beautiful life. Because even Guru Maya longs for Baba. And she had to be corrected severely by him within a few months after he died. He had to come to her in a dream and yell at her.
Yeah.
And he appeared to her so that she could see him. And he said, "Stop looking for me," and disappeared.
Jeez.
So now she's having to work to bring Baba and what he taught her to other people. But it's an endless process of perfection. Of perfectibility.
Yeah.
And that we'll never ever attain the highest beatitude. We'll never attain the highest form of beauty. We'll always be looking for more.
Because this is the nature of the universe.
Because it's infinite.
The nature of God.
Right. God is infinitely beautiful. And it's never going to be possible to discover the full extent of that beauty.
And this is Nicholas of Cusa.
Right? Yeah.
In human form, what about when you die?
Pardon me?
What about when you die? Is it possible then?
No, they're still, Baba and Nityananda are still up there working their ass off trying to help other people come along. And there's no end to it. And the thing of it is you experience all of this beauty and all of this happiness in the process. And who would ever want an end to come to such a thing? I wouldn't want one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want an end to it. So anyway, so let's keep going. So these are insights that I had never had until I did dream work. I didn't get these insights. Although Baba told me all this stuff, I didn't ever really understand it. So, Stephanie says, so then what I did was I take my scarf and I stick my scarf down through the neck of my dress and through the holes and then back up through and out the other hole. And then I've got a dress that's got this scarf weaving around the dress and through the holes.
That's so creative.
And there I say that this is like association.
Yeah.
It's like taking two things and putting them together in order to make something that didn't exist before.
I'll say that's...
Yeah.
Is it also kind of, but from an Aquarian viewpoint, is it like serving the dress, serving the causal? Because I look like a bit of an idiot. I'm aware that it looks really stupid, which is kind of a sacrifice to me.
To wear a dress like this.
Yeah, to do that with scarf.
Well, the reason that you think it looks stupid is because you're an Aquarian. A Leo who would make something like that, or an Aries who would make something like that, would think, this is really great, this is novel, look what I did.
I
solved the problem.
Right.
And I can imagine, in my own imagination, I can imagine that a designer, and I've seen things like this, that a designer could actually design something like that.
Yeah.
And you've seen things like that before in your life, don't you?
But in my dream, it doesn't look good. It looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that could be the bi-directional. So she's manifested this scarf, and it's very creative. And then she's thinking to herself inwardly that it looks ridiculous.
Okay, now...
To other people.
Now, the thing that interests me here about this, too, is that a woman identifies with the emotional mind. And so, if she's an Aquarian, changing to Leo, her inward-directed relationship will be with the causal body. And so, this is why her creativity is going on with her dress. And her outward-directed creativity would be with Rupert. So do you ask Rupert what he thinks about it?
No, that's a different dream.
He doesn't go to the wedding with you?
No, it's Matt. He's in his dream.
Is Matt going to go to the wedding with
no.
you?
No.
Okay. So there's no...
I'm with Matt when I do the thing with the dress.
You are with him?
Yeah, no, I don't say anything.
Does he see what you're doing?
I think so.
You're not interested in what he thinks?
No, not really. Well...
Okay.
I think I just think he probably thinks I look stupid.
Well...
I don't really know what
okay,
I'm doing.
Because, now, because you're an Aquarian, you think that you know what he's thinking.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I want you to do, Steph, is in the moment where you're doing this and you see Matt standing there, I want you to look at Matt and formulate the intention to recognize that you don't really know what he thinks about what you're doing. To formulate the intention to ask him what he... knowing that you don't really know what he thinks.
But what's weird about it as well is that I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm doing this thing, and I can't identify with it, and I think it's so weird and stupid, and I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing with
okay,
this
stuff? Okay, see, what you're doing right there is showing that you're not identifying with the intuition.
Mm.
That you're aware of the intuition, and that you're going through the motion of doing the intuitive thing, but you don't have any identity relationship with it.
Mm.
You see?
Mm.
Okay, but you do know that it's you who's doing it.
Yeah.
But you're doing it on automatic. You don't have any identity invested in it. And this is why I say that you cannot identify with the intuition. Now a person like Aaron, see, would say, well, I'm doing this, I'm weaving this thing, and somebody would say to me, that's a very imaginative, intuitive thing for you to do. Oh, yes, I do intuitive things all of the time. Well, how are you doing it? Well, I don't know. Why are you doing it? I don't know. I don't. And I say, you don't identify with the intuition. And this is evidence. And I'm telling you, Dominic, that you'll find it over and over and over and over again. That people will say, I'm doing this, but I don't know why I'm doing it, and I don't know how I'm doing it. And I'm not identified with it. I love the light in your eye right now, Stephanie. Because when you're discovering important things to you, You have that light, and it's this discovery of God.
Mm.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Yes.
To see that
fullness,
that glee, and that satisfaction of getting this insight. Okay, so now what I want you to do is, if you can, is go to that moment in the dream, and then look at Matt. And look at what you're doing, and look at that you think that it's not attractive. And I want you to realize that even though you think that Matt is probably thinking the same thing you are, I'll tell you for sure, he is not thinking the same thing that you are. And I want you to know that you do not know what he's thinking, even though you imagine as an Aquarian. You're imagining that you know what he thinks, but you don't know what he thinks. And you're going to be very surprised if you're capable of formulating the intention to ask him what he thinks. You're going to be very surprised at what you find out. I don't want you to ask him, I want you to formulate the intention to ask him. And tell me, do you have any resistance to asking him? You don't have any resistance to asking him?
No.
Are you sure? Then look at him and tell me, without asking him, just look at him and tell me what he thinks about what you're thinking about right now.
That's beautiful.
Okay. Very good. Now, this is also a beautiful piece of evidence, because here's an Aquarian, and she's trying to respond to a higher hypothesis. She's trying to respond to her intuition, and she's experiencing herself weaving a scarf through the holes of her dress. And she's thinking that it doesn't look very attractive. And when she intends then to look, to ask somebody else what they think, she finds out that it's completely different than she imagines. Right? Mm-hmm. And so who is it who created the wedding dress?
God.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody but God creates everything. Okay. So, your mother invited you to a wedding, right? Mm-hmm. And you thought that you were going to the wedding of this other woman. And mm-hmm. whose wedding are you going to?
My wedding.
Yeah. So now you know, uh-huh. my darling Stephanie, uh-huh. now you know that it isn't in your identity type to want to be married.
Isn't that weird?
It's in your intuition to want to be married. And the reason that you're not married is because you're identifying with not wanting to be married.
I know.
And the reason that...
I like men too much.
Pardon me?
I like men too much.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And right.
I don't get it.
She likes men too much to want to get married.
Oh, right. Oh, look at her face, though.
Yeah.
It's bright red.
If she could have a man... who would be satisfied?
I could change into another man, huh?
Well, she's...
I'm kidding.
Okay. No, she's serious. It's okay. You could be...
That's funny.
See, Don, why I love Stephanie and why I have so much fun
with
her.
She's such a good sport.
Yeah, she totally is such a great sport. And I get to talk to her about sucking and fucking and different positions and everything. And she talks to me like as if we're a girl and a guy talking about fucking and sucking. And it's a lot of delightful fun with me because I don't have to fuck her. I can just talk about it. Don't worry, I won't transcribe it.
We'll delete that part. Oh my God, that's cool.
Yeah, so anyway, we've had this fun, for years and years now.
Yeah,
right? And
that's
really interesting. I totally love it, yeah.
That's really interesting.
So...
And I like what you say, too, about, your identity type is your friend. It's not an enemy, and I've always looked at it like...
The ego, get rid of the ego.
Then this ego is killing me, and we can't live without this.
No, of course, and in this case...
It's a springboard.
Pardon me?
It's a springboard.
Well, it's a springboard, but it's also a spring.
Mm. Oh, I like that.
You can use it either as a spring or as a springboard. You can go back to it and continue to drink from it.
An artesian well.
Yeah, it is like it's an artesian well. And Stephanie just sees an infinite number of men coming up out of there, you know, that she can enjoy, as long as she doesn't get married. But I'm going to help her find a guy to marry and have children with who will fully support her.
Yeah.
Little escapades on the side in the nights when nobody's looking. We want to spread the delight, right, Dominic?
Yeah.
Just imagine a woman who dedicates herself to one man. She's robbing all of those other men of that delight.
Yeah.
She could really spread that delight in the world, so... This is kind of an interesting... I don't know whether this is the teaching of dream work or not, but we're going to...
But once she finds that person, she may... Who knows what direction she'll go.
Well, I feel that now with Steve.
You feel it?
We've agreed to be monogamous, so I feel okay with that. Although my dream seems to show something else.
Okay. See, anybody can tell me whatever they want.
Right.
And Stephanie looked at me and she realized, uh-oh, I'm telling that son of a bitch... that I feel dedicated to Steve, and yet I'm telling him about, oh, well, okay, so I'm...
Right.
I'm going in two directions here.
But it would be interesting, I mean, to see, like, if you formalize your dedication to Steve, if your dreams will change, like, your intuition will be more pronounced.
They might change now with this.
Yeah. It did happen to me. I was together with a woman one time.
Yeah.
And I was together with her for about 5 years. And I could see beautiful women flirting with me. Mm. And I was not... I mean, I could appreciate the fact that they were beautiful and that they were flirting, but I didn't even...
You weren't interested.
I didn't give them any indication that I'm willing to consider fulfilling their desire, because I didn't have any desire for them. I really was totally satisfied with this woman, and it lasted for 5 years. And
then, boy, she must have been something.
She was something else. She's dead now. She's
the mother of Joe.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Diane Mason. She was a singer and a dancer, and Solomon wrote in the Song of Solomon, "Do not marry a singer. She'll ruin your reputation."
A singer?
Yeah. Jesus. Solomon said, "Do not marry a singer. She will ruin your reputation."
That's hilarious.
And she did. She ruined my reputation.
Did she?
Yeah. It ruined my self-esteem, too. Anyway.
Well, we can always blame it on that.
Okay. So I'm at Lee on Sea with Mom and Dad. Mom is sheepish. Mom made a mistake. I am not invited to this other woman's wedding. Because I'm going to my own wedding. Right? But she didn't tell me that. She only told me that she's going to this other woman's wedding. And now she gets down there and she realizes, I'm not invited to this. Not invited to this other woman's wedding. Okay, I see the bride's mom in the background. And she's looking apologetic. Like, oh, I didn't invite you to my daughter's wedding. See how she's doing things because the intuition is moving her to do them, and she doesn't know what she's actually doing. Now the groom of the other bride had moved Stephanie's car because Stephanie had parked the car in a place that was inconvenient for the groom to have the car there. So he got in the car and moved it. And now Stephanie needs to go get the car, and Mom comes with me to get the car. He left the car parked in the middle of a road where cars were parked on both sides of the street, and there's only one space for one car to get through. And he parked it in the middle in the space, so now nobody can get through.
And she can't go on her honeymoon then.
He left the car parked in the middle of the road. We go to move it, and Mom is in the driver's seat. And she says, let's just leave it here. This is a higher hypothesis.
This is the Leo?
No, her mother is saying, let's just leave the car here.
Right.
So now, through Stephanie's intuitive identity type, there is a message coming into her in her identity type.
Right. From this.
Even though her mother is saying it, she doesn't hear it directly. She hears it through the higher hypothesis.
Okay.
Because her mother isn't saying, let's leave the car parked here. Her mother's saying something else. And she's misconstruing what her mother is saying.
And her mother is the causal because of the parent.
Right. Okay. And she's the one who has invited her to come to her own wedding. So see, not only does she have an intuition that she wants to get married, her causal body is also working with the intuition to get her married. Okay. Now, it isn't that she just wants the car to be there, because I'll prove it to you. Because you can't believe that what happens in the dream is that the dreamer tells you is what really happened, because the dreamer is always telling you about their perception.
Right.
And how they're misinterpreting everything.
Yes.
Because the messages are coming through the intuitive identity type. And the identity type is misconstruing that.
Yeah.
So when the mom says, let's just leave it here. And you say, no, I don't want to leave it here. It's blocking the traffic. There's an empty space over there. I want you to move it over there. And I said, wanting to put the cart in an empty parking space is an association action. Because there's an empty space and she wants to put the cart together with the empty space. Understand?
Yeah.
It won't be an empty space anymore.
Right.
And the car won't be parked in the middle of the street anymore. So the car is not going to be a car parked in the middle of the street, which is one identity. The car is a car that's parked in a parking place, which is another identity. Mm-hmm. That's how Alvaro understands it. Okay.
Another identity of
the car.
Stephanie?
No, the car. The car is identified as a car blocking traffic.
Yes.
That is a car blocking traffic. So you say, okay, the identity of this car is it as a car that is blocking traffic.
Okay.
Stephanie wants to change that. She sees an empty parking space.
Right.
She says to her mother, move the car into that parking space.
Right.
So now you put the car and the parking space together. Mm. Now the car is a parked car. It's not a car blocking traffic.
Right.
See the difference in the identity of the car?
But did that happen in the dream?
No.
No. Okay.
I see a space and say, let's move it there, and then it ends. Mm. Okay. Okay. So now what I want you to do is go to the point where your mom says, let's just leave the car parked here. Can you still experience that, Stephanie?
Yeah, I'm really annoyed.
And you are annoyed?
Yeah.
Okay, good. What I want you to do is realize that the reason that you're annoyed is because you're reacting against a higher hypothesis mm-hmm. that God is presenting you with. That God wants you to have greater pleasure than just the pleasure of moving the car into a parking space. There is a higher order of pleasure available to you right now than that. Would you prefer to have that pleasure instead of the pleasure of putting the car in a parking space?
Yeah, I would, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So can you formulate the intention that you're going to say to your mother, okay, that's a good idea, let's just leave it here.
But this is interesting as well, isn't it? Because in the way we're formulating all these things, because normally it would just be like, what do I need right now, you know, from my mum?
Okay, no, I mean, you know, we can say it that way too. What you need, what you think you need, is you need the car parked in the parking place.
Yeah.
And you actually need something higher than that.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what I was trying to indicate when I said there is a greater pleasure available to you
right. mm-hmm.
than that pleasure. Mm. Okay. So if you look inside and say, what do you really need? Your mom wants to put the car there. And, I mean, your mom wants to leave the car there. And you want the car over there. But what do you really want? What do you need that goes beyond wanting to put the car there? Yeah, no, it's not. Okay, so anyway, but Dominic, that's one way of doing the dream. And that's a way that I taught Stephanie, you know, and it's something that I use all the time.
Yeah.
But right now, in this moment, I thought that it would be easier to do it this way. To say, a higher desire. God is presenting a higher desire to you.
Right.
Than just the desire to have the car in it.
Right.
that there's a, available to you now a higher fulfillment than that.
And so she's having trouble, a little trouble.
Well, she's having trouble doing it the other way, doing it the way that she wanted to do it, of trying to discover what her need is.
I'm saying
you have, God is promising you an unknown fulfillment of an unknown desire. You have a higher desire for a higher need, and God is promising you this already by having your mother say, let's just leave it here. So can you formulate the intention to say, can you formulate the intention, I am going to agree with my mother and just let the car stay here, because God has a higher promise for me than the one that I'm looking for.
This is an interesting way of doing it.
It's what, my way of doing it?
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's an interesting way of doing it.
It's a new thing.
It's a new thing for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I
want her to explain that.
Okay, Dominic would like you to explain what you just said.
Well, because to me, that's not serving my need.
As the Leo expressive.
No.
The Leo expressive would know. That's what you have to discover, what your need is.
Yeah, but when Ryan says, I want you to make the intention just to leave, agree with your mother, that's, to me, more of an expressive thing, to be kind of giving her what she wants, in a way.
Okay, but I didn't say that. I didn't say, I want you to give your mother what you want. I don't want you to be an obedient daughter. I didn't say that. I said, God is having your mother say to you, let's leave the car here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Your mother doesn't know what she's doing either.
Right, okay.
But she's doing it because God has given her an intuition that she is following. And this is the causal body.
Right.
Following an intuition in its own domain.
Yes.
And it's passing this intuition on to the identity type in the other domain. And so what I'm recognizing is that there is a promise from God in this, that the identity type in the emotional, mental domain is being promised a higher fulfillment of a higher desire that she's unaware of.
Okay.
And that's what's different, as Stephanie's saying.
Well, I don't know that whether Stephanie really understood what I was doing when she said that this is new.
You're just a different way of wording it, really.
Okay, so would you tell Dominic what is new about this?
It's... rather than really focusing on the person that you're with, or the object, and saying to yourself, what do I need from them?
Right.
Or what do I have to give them as a sacrifice to me?
Which is me telling you to try to discover from the intuitive side of your own in your own domain what the need in the Leo is. Because the Leo is receiving the intuition from your mother. And you're misconstruing it. But what is it that the Leo wants when it agrees with your mother? What is it that the Leo needs? And so you get that when you say, can you ask yourself, well, what do I need? And that will always come from the intuition.
And that will break her free from her Aquarius identity type.
Yes. But I didn't do it that way. I wanted to do it this other way. Stephanie says is a new way.
Okay.
She hasn't ever really seen me do it this way before.
Okay.
And one of the reasons is because I'm raising the dream work up to a higher level of awareness that this is something that's being done on God's playground for the reason of the fulfillment of God's desire. And that when we learn how to follow God's desire, which Guru Mai has done, and she has explained it, I have learned that when I follow God, I have a much better life than when I follow my thoughts. And when I follow my thoughts, I can't live that life. There's nothing in that life that could fulfill me. And so when the woman came to Guru Maya and said, Guru Maya, I have no reason to live, Guru Maya understood that completely and completely felt sympathy and empathy and everything else for the woman. So she was able to say to her, well, I live for God. And if you can use that for you. And the woman said, well, that sounds pretty good.
I guess that's a decent answer.
So what I'm asking Stephanie to do now is to recognize that God has presented her with a conundrum.
Yeah.
And the reason is because God has a higher intention for her in this moment. And God wants her to stop following her own identity type.
Right.
And to follow this higher order.
Right.
Of thinking.
So what is it that you're asking?
So then I'm saying,
yeah.
Stephanie, in this situation, God has a higher intention for you than you do. So it's coming through your mother. So can you formulate the intention to say, I'm going to do what my mother is asking me.
Okay.
For the sake of fulfilling God's intention for me. See, not for the sake of satisfying my mother.
Yeah.
But for the sake of satisfying God.
Okay.
Was that difficult to understand? I thought it was pretty straightforward.
You need to repeat it a couple of times.
Do you like it, Steph?
Yeah.
Look at that face. Look at that face. I say to her, do you like it? You see why I'm in love with her, Dominic?
Yes.
What a lucky guy I am to have a
yes.
To have a student like this in my life. Even though she's not paying me.
Sorry, Randy.
Don't worry, I'll get it out of you, honey. I know how to get it out of you.
Seeing a few things when I do that.
You're seeing a few things?
Yeah. So I'm seeing, because it's on a hill, this car. It's right at the top of the hill, in the middle of this traffic.
Yeah.
Parked cars. And down the hill I'm seeing Steve walking up the hill in like a wedding suit with a bouquet of flowers, and behind him a whole party of people coming towards the car.
Mm-hmm. Now what? You gonna get married or not?
I'd like to.
As a higher hypothesis, you would like to.
So the car doesn't need to go anywhere because the party's right there.
Yeah.
So, okay, you formulated the intention to agree with your mother, not for your mother's sake, because your mother isn't even saying it as a personal desire of hers. It's an intuition that occurs to her that she's not even identified with.
Yeah, because what was annoying me about her, the way she was saying it as well, is that she was sort of laughing when she was saying it, like she had no attachment to it. She was just kind of like, oh, let's just leave it here.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's wrong with you?
Right. Well, she's not identified with it.
Yeah.
And this is why I know it's an intuition for her. and she can't identify with it. But there's this evidence also, Dom, that every body in the mind, the waking state, dreaming, causal, supercausal, they all have their own identity type and their own intuition.
Wow.
And see, God has his way of communicating with us either directly in our own intuition or using another body and its intuition to get to us. So that her mother wants her to keep the car there. It's telling her to, her mother doesn't want to keep the car there. Her mother is telling her to leave the car there. Because this is an intuition that's coming to the causal body, but not to the emotional body directly. It's coming only indirectly to the emotional body. You see how this is developing into a huge science and to having a bunch of people around the world doing this stuff every day. What a transformative power in the world that this is going to be,
God.
Dominic. Look how it's changing you. Look how it's changing me. Look how it's changing Stephanie. You understand?
Yeah.
And LaRouche's people down in Virginia, they're onto this somehow.
Yeah.
And they know that they're dedicating themselves and trying to develop this higher hypothesis into a hypothesis.
I just went into that a lot deeper.
Pardon me?
I went into that a lot deeper.
And what happened?
And I've identified with it now that Steve is all men.
Steve is all men. There you go, baby. Now you don't have to worry about me trying to get you. Because when I come after you, well, I'll just be Steve. It's enough.
It's enough, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So now...
That's soul.
Okay. But now look, how many turning points there were in this dream.
Yeah.
And this is going on all day, every day, all night, every night. That God is inviting us into these turning points.
It's like we're sleepwalking.
And we are...
In a waking state.
Yeah. Yeah, we're sleepwalking in the waking state. But we are having these infinitesimals.
Yeah.
And we are growing from these infinitesimals.
That's why the sages and the yogis talk about it. Because they know it's here all the time.
Yeah, and it's going on. And that you are progressing, that you are developing. And Guru Maya in her talk last night, she's talking about trust and the last T in the word trust is for tolerance. And tolerance, she says, is allowing everybody to progress at their own time.
All right. What are the rest of the abbreviations mean? T is like, what does the first T mean?
You want me to go give you the...
It's transcendence.
You want me to give you the whole...
Would you please?
2003.
Did you record it?
You can go and get it at the Arati store, Dom.
It's transcendence.
For $19. It's really beautiful. And she's a lot of fun. Okay, Sadgurunath Maharaj Ki Jai.
Are we done?
Yeah. Do you understand why this is an Aquarian?
Self-sacrificing bit in the wedding dream.
Sweetheart, you're not getting the sacrifice?
I said I'm going to the wedding, I don't want to.
You don't want to go to somebody else's wedding.
Oh, okay.
And it's a trick to get you to go to your own wedding.
Oh.
You don't want to go to that either. Here's a girl who says that she wants to be married, and she doesn't, and she's now finding out today that her desire to be married is an intuition.
That she can't identify with.
Right, and that in her identity type, she does not want to be married.
Right.
Okay, so now, what do you think about somebody who wants to be married and who doesn't want to be married? How could you be married without being married?
In the space between.
Well, that's neither nor. But there are a lot of people who are married without being married.
And I was one.
Yeah, but there are people who are married
It's confusion.
Who are having affairs with other people.
Yeah.
And they're keeping that as a secret from their marriage partner.
Yeah.
Right? And that's being married without being married.
I got you.
And that's confusion.
Right.
And it's a lie. But this thing that Stephanie now rose to, she's saying, I don't want to be married in my identity type because I want to be have access to these other men.
Right.
You know, like Mozart says in the Abduction from the Seraglio, when you find a beautiful young woman who intends to be faithful and true, just take her and lock her up in the closet because they like to play the role of the butterfly and taste of all of the foreign wine whenever they get a chance. So make sure you lock her up in the closet. Wenn du ein Liebchen hast gefunden, when you have found a little darling, die ist treu und ehrlich meint, who means to be faithful and honest. Lohn es ihr durch tausend Küsse, mach ihr all das Leben süße. Reward it to her with 1,000 kisses, make her life very sweet. Sei ihr Tröster, sei ihr Freund, sei ihr Tröster, sei ihr Freund, sei ihr Freund. Be her consolation, be her friend, be her consoler, be her friend, be her friend. Tra-la-lira, 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 tra-la-lira. That's how the music goes.
Wow.
Wenn du ein Liebchen hast gefunden, die es treu und ehrlich meint, lohn es ihr durch tausend Küsse, mach ihr all das Leben süße, sei ihr Tröster, sei ihr Freund, sei ihr Tröster, sei ihr Freund, sei ihr Freund. Tra-la-lira, 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 tra-la-lira.
Translate those last.
Tra-la-lira, same in English. Doesn't mean anything.
Tra-la-la.
Tra-la-la-la-la-lira, tra-la-lira, tra-la-lira. And we just turned Stephanie, God did it, from such a woman to a real wife of a real man, where she doesn't have to be locked up in a closet.
Yes.
Right? And so now Stephanie has raised herself to a higher concept of womanhood as a wife,
yeah,
who will never be unfaithful to her husband because of this experience that she just had of herself right now. And now she's going to go back with this experience and retrain the identity type in her mind,
yes,
about how to think about that, to make sure that the identity type doesn't ever want to seduce her into breaking the marriage. And this is the power of dream work, to be able to do that, to transform people.
Yes.
Like it? Mm-hmm. Is it kind of like a... can you see that the dream work has the power of... what is it that you want to make? An institute for...
Tantric studies.
An institute for tantric studies? Mm-hmm. That the dream work is a tantric... is a tantric power. And to make an academy for human creativity using dream work is even higher than an institute for tantric studies, because it has the power of giving people this experience, this transformative experience of people. Mm-hmm. When Guru Mai first went around the world, mm-hmm. at the end of every year, she had the book store people put a book together called Transformation. And it was about the history of Siddha Yoga during that year and how the people were transformed. Mm-hmm. And all the people were talking about the experiences they had and how they were new, how they were not different from the way that they were before. Wow. And she did it for 4 years in a row.
Really?
Transformation, 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 transformation. Yes. Right, and these books are all there. They're out in the world somewhere.
But they're out of print.
And yeah, and she stopped making them. She made four, and then she didn't make any more. And it was because she was looking for, I think, that she was looking for particular transformative achievement that wasn't forthcoming. Mm. I believe that. I don't know that. Mm. And I want to look into that. Because transformation is what I'm interested in. Are you interested in transformation?
I'm pretty into it.
Okay.
I have a question. Do you have one?
No.
She still doesn't see the Aquarius thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Aquarius is looking at all of the men in the world, mm-hmm. and I want to be able to have all of them. And the intuition wants you to go for Steve. And the experience in the space between is that Steve is all men. And that when you have him, that there's no experience with another man that will ever be able to equal the experience with Steve. And it's an experience with another man is something that you don't need. Because experience with another man is a desire that is created by the identity type, and that desire has now been destroyed by the experience in the space between. See, and I knew that this was Stephanie's potential. And now I don't ever need to talk to her about this bullshit anymore. Do I? No. No, because conversations like this are now going to be boring for you.
Yeah.
You see that? Okay. Could you go back to that experience and identify with it and realize that this is who you really are? Identify with it by the force of your intent, because you're in the great sky there. And you don't want to fall from that great sky back into the dark night of habit. Okay, what's it like to identify with that, Steph?
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Now, when you look at yourself as a woman in that state of conscious awareness, mm-hmm. and allowing your life to be lived, and allowing God to manifest your world from that perspective, and you look back on the identity type of a woman who wanted to be free to be a butterfly and to taste of all of the different foreign wines.
Yeah, it's kind of boring.
You look at that woman, and what does she look like to you?
It's a bit dead, a bit bored.
Okay, you can see that. Mm. Yeah, and in every time, and this is an interesting thing, Sitam. This is the power of the dream work too. When you can get the dreamer to go into that space and to see themselves there, and then to look back on the identity type of a person who wanted to desire that man and this man, and you look back on the men that you have had, say just within the past 5 years, maybe you can't see them all, I don't know, but just look at all of them, as many as you can see, and see yourself doing whatever it was that you were doing with them. And can you imagine that you would ever want to go and do that again?
No.
Okay, so that's it then. It's over.
Okay.
Sadgurunath Maharaj Ki Jai. Okay, can you see how that's an Aquarian thing?
Yeah.
And the other is a Leo thing?
Yeah, because you want to understand everything.
Yeah.
Superficially.
And you want to see one thing and another and another and another superficially, and here you want to fuse yourself together with Steve, and that's it. And that's the end of that tape. Got it filled up. I'll edit a lot of that out. How are you doing, Dom? Getting a little tired?
No.
What is it?
I just had a question about... when you were when you're talking about the Stephanie's mother as the causal, and that part of the mind wasn't aware of the intuition too, my question is, can you do you look at the 180?
Oh, he's come to find Daddy.
They flew right out of the damn fence, the little buggers.
Are they all out there?
I don't know. They may be. But,
okay.
So, do you look at the 180 degrees from the position of the causal? You know, when there's a question about intuition in the causal mind, can you look 180 degrees? You know what I mean?
Right. Why do you want me to... What is it that you're looking for? What would you want me to see if
I... Well, in the dream, the mother wasn't aware...
Of what she was saying.
Of what she was saying.
Yeah.
Right?
How do I know that?
Just because of the statement that Stephanie made that she wasn't identified with... Let's just leave it here. Like, she hadn't even been... You know, she could care one way or the other.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And so...
No, that's not how I knew that she...
No?
It's not how I knew it.
How did you know it then?
Because I know that what her mother is saying to her is trying to get Stephanie to do something that's different than she's intending to do.
Oh.
That's how I knew it.
Oh.
Follow?
Yeah, but how did you know that? How did you know that her mother was trying to get her... What were the clues for you?
Because Stephanie reacted against her mother saying that.
Oh, that's the clue again.
And said, I don't want to leave it here. I want to park it over there.
Oh, okay.
So then I knew instantly that this was...
Yes. Yes.
That this was not a thought that was following along. Okay, and here, Steph, is a very interesting question that Dominic is asking. Mm-hmm. How did I know that?
Yeah.
And so I have a section in this paper that I'm writing about DreamWork Step by Step that's called Closed System. Mm. And I say in there that every thought in your identity type is logically consistent with every other thought in the identity type.
Right.
And that every intuition, every thought in the intuition is logically consistent with every other thought in the intuition. But every thought in the intuition is always inconsistent logically with the thought that's in the identity type.
Gotcha. So that's a beautiful clue then.
So when, and the God has got this set up this way.
Yeah.
So that whenever a thought is introduced into the mind that is inconsistent with the thought that you're following, identified with, that you know that that's coming from the intuition.
Because of the reaction.
Yes. No.
No?
No. you just recognize it because you know that this thought is inconsistent with the way that I think.
Oh.
And the evidence that it's inconsistent with the way she's thinking is her reaction.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Following? Mm-hmm. Are you bored with this now?
No,
you want to have a break?
I was thinking about something else, sorry.
You want to have a break?
No, I'm okay.
So, this...
She was thinking about...
this clue, too, I mean, about when there's something that you can't do in a dream or you can never seem to accomplish it and you're trying, that's a clue that the intuition is working there.
Right.
Right. That's different from the identity type.
Yes, and why is it that you are trying to do it, but that you can't do it?
Because you're trying to get to a higher level.
Because you're not identified with it.
Oh, right.
And because you're not identified with it, you don't really know it.
Oh.
You only know what you're identified with.
Right.
And so the only thing you can identify with is a thought that is in the identity type.
Okay.
And any thought that is logically consistent with that. But you can never identify with a thought that is inconsistent from that.
Okay.
And see, a lot of people, like Aaron, well, they want to take umbrage with that. They want to say, I identify with the thoughts that are inconsistent with my identity type all the time.
Yeah.
And I just have to say, you know what, Aaron? Nobody identifies with that.
Yeah.
The only thing that you can ever identify with that is not a thought that is in the identity type is to identify with the freedom of the space in between.
Right.
Right, Stephanie? And even when you get there, to identify with it is something that you have to be taught how to do.
Yeah.
And this is what is so valuable about this text, that it led me to this awareness. Otherwise, I would never have been able to talk like this. Mm. So now, another thing that you can do that is inconsistent with everything that I just now said is that when you have... You're such a darling. See, it's because you are the way you are and that everything works the way that it works inside of you mm-hmm. that makes you love this work. Mm-hmm. And this isn't my work. And because you love it, and you're responding to it the same way that I am, we are kindred spirits. Mm-hmm. And we find a lot of affinity with each other. Mm-hmm. And in the same way that you love hanging out with me, mm-hmm. I love hanging out with you too.
Oh, thank you.
I really love it. and because we're having this fun, and it's fun for an old man like me to be doing this with a beautiful young woman like you, I have a special advantage in this relationship. But this is okay. This is okay, because even though Stephanie's a young woman hanging out with a gray-headed, gray-bearded old bastard, she still is willing to tell me, I love hanging out with you, which is really refreshing, consoling to me. So there's hope after all. And even Goethe said it, even though the hair is white, still you will love.
Well, this is why Louisa can never find a husband.
Because she's not identified with it.
No, because she says she's never going to find anyone like you. That's what she always says.
She's mad at me.
She's
pissed off at me because every time she gets going with another guy, she always looks and the things that are lacking in him that she's looking, qualities that she knows in me,
yeah,
she's looking for in him or not there, and so she throws
him. I can understand that.
She throws him out the window.
I understand that. Because there is, like any of my male friends, there's just nobody like this guy. Mm-hmm. And then, like, most conversations are dull.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, thank you. Thank you, guys, very much. I'm signed into Aquarius now, so I'm having a hard time accepting that.
So the other question that I had, just to clear it up, was that, and so in the dream, the,
Should I get another tape?
Nah. This will be
would
quick.
Would you mind, honey, getting me a tape off of this table? It's right there. Let's have fun. Let's just leave it here. And Stephanie says, fuck you, I'm not leaving it here. There's a parking place right over there. Put it over there.
That's where it belongs.
Yeah. And why did she say it? Not because it's better to put the car in the parking place. That's not why. The identity type is making that up.
Yeah.
But it's so logical and so consistent with the way that Stephanie thinks.
Yeah.
And it's so protective because keeping her identified with the identity type is safe.
Right.
Because it's achieving its goal of keeping her interested in it and identified with what it's saying, and so that she's going to be consistent with everything else that it keeps on saying.
Right.
And it doesn't want her going off and doing things that are inconsistent, because it isn't the one who is inspiring her to do that. So she has to say to herself, you know what, Mom? I can recognize from your laughter and your playfulness that you're inviting me to play and to have fun. And you know what? I want to have fun too. So let's just leave it here. Right? What's next, Mom? Well, here comes Steve with the wedding entourage up the hill. Oh, I always wanted to get married. And look, there's Steve. Oh my God, I can see it him. All men.
Jesus.
All of my resistance to marrying is because I wanted to be available to other men, and I finally found a man who can be all men to me. Let's leave the car here. No need to move it. Okay, so
got it.
It's another way, see, Dom? It's another way to make the world turn around. Any other questions, anybody?
Can I get some juice?
You want some juice?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're done with this then.
We can see your dream later, Randy.
I have some.
Before we...
You want to do my dream about the shit all over?
Yes, all over the Scientology
org.
Yeah, let's do that one.
It's all about shitting and pissing and
wow.
And it's nothing but an org full. Every room is a goddamn toilet.
Jesus.
On every floor.
I can see your opinion of the Scientologist goes up every day.
Expelling waste.
Well, you know what, Steph? I don't want to make any juice.
Okay.
So, if you want to make juice, do you mind making some for me too?
What kind do you want, Steph?
Just like a carrot and spinach.
Carrot and spinach?
I want celery too.
And celery.
I got 6 heads of celery in that little box.
So there is a carrot, spinach, and celery juice? What are those? What is that good for?
You'd have to look and see what Mr. Walker says about that, because I don't remember.
I need beet and cucumber juice.
Okay.
But I'll make me one of those.
Well, you know what? When we make the juice, we can put the celery in one container,
yes.
The carrot in another container, the spinach in another container, and then everybody can blend whatever they want.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. I have a lot of experience with making juice. Hey, thank you guys for this today.
Thank you.
Because this has been a delightful process. It's a good way to spend Sunday communicating with God.
God, I'll say.
I'm so happy that you like it, Dom.
Makes me want to go meditate.
It makes Stephanie want to go make juice. She already got her meditation.
How many carrots do I need for 3 people?
About that many. for all three of us.
You know, you don't want carrot. Do you want carrot?
He wants carrot. He needs carrot, beet, and cucumber.
Oh, okay.
Carrot, beet, and cucumber. I'll help you.
How many cucumbers? Two.
Yeah.
You can bump shoulders with her, Dom.
Yeah.
You can make juice, and you two can go in the kitchen and bump shoulders.
That's fun.
Okay.
I need lemon water, too. I think our stuff is done.
Our what?
The distilled water.
Oh, it's made, yeah.
Hey, I feel the ice is melted.
Okay, we need to go buy some more ice. Can you buy some ice, Dom?
I will. I'll get some.
Or if you'll give me the money, I'll go buy it.
No, that's okay, because I got to go pick up a vacuum cleaner.
Oh,
then I'll stop.
We need ice soon.
Okay, I'll get some.
Hey, Stephanie, is the ice all gone?
Yeah.
Would you move the table off of there and take some ice out of the other cooler and put it on the spinach? get a better deal at Sears.
Kind of all this. missed out today, didn't he?
I'll say. He may have went to the Gurgita. He missed out.
Well, he has been out of the Gurgita for a long time. It's already after one. What time did we start there? About 10 o'clock?
Yeah, I wasn't aware of the time.
Do you know what time we started?
jump out at me.
Don't worry about it, Tom,
see,
please.
See this picture here? Lindsay was a participant in that yagna.
1998.
Yeah.
This is Lindsay 12 years ago.
Yes.
And right now she's what, 23?
Yeah, 23.
So 12 years ago, she was 14. I mean, no. 12 years ago, she was 11. Gee, she looks older than that. I was having a hard time because I couldn't imagine that 11 could be the right answer.
Probably upstairs.
What do you think about mudras, Randy?
Mudras? They're great, if you believe in them.
You don't believe them?
No.
Why?
Because I haven't ever done mudras. I haven't ever done mudras. Mudras are done automatically.
Yeah.
The energy makes you go into a particular mudra.
Yes.
And when you go into the space between the thoughts,
yeah,
it causes you to do mudras.
Right, so you do believe.
Well, but I don't
you
believe
have experience.
I don't believe in just doing them.
Yeah, you can't. Well, putting your hand in a position is also a mudra.
I know that's a mudra.
Yeah.
But you don't, and you do get some benefit from it.
Yeah.
And that's a mudra that I do also do.
Yeah.
Because I've been told by my guru that I should do it.
Oh.
And I believe that, but
yeah,
she has never told me to do it other mudras.
Right.
She told me to put both hands over my chest
when
I'm sleeping,
mm-hmm,
and I try to do that also, but I find it more beneficial. Definitely will be interested in this. Rather than putting my hand on my chest, I find it more beneficial to put it on my head. Just my head. My head needs healing.
No, you need to hold the energy blasting out of it. Let's assume that up into the higher regions of God.
Whoa, okay.
Right?
All right, thank you.
Remember the Bhagavad Gita, that picture of the yogi in his final moment? And
And that's happened to me maybe 6 or 7 times. But,
oh, nice. Isn't that a fun job?
I say a mudra because it happens automatically.
You know, Swami Virananda, when she met Baba Muktananda, she just went into hours of them. She stood on her hands and did all kinds of stuff.
Gum, what if you want to send me this thing about your federal tax being passed due?
It's a joke. Look at it. Scroll down. Scroll down. Did you see it?
No, I just... I'm just opening it. There's nothing on it.
You didn't get the picture?
Well, there's nothing there.
There's no link.
Oh, now it's come out.
Oh, shit, that's horrible.
made a rocket that will go to Mars. And in the meantime, we got a rocket to tour the solar system. And we want him to tour the solar system because we're making him emperor of the solar system.
And we're going to put him,
on a rocket to tour the solar system so he'll be able to discover what he's going to be the emperor of.
All the Rishi.
Told
the
then, you know, we can, when they get low in the refrigerator, we can put some more in there.
There's not in the fridge now.
Well, there'll be one for...
Yeah, I'll stick a couple in there.
Okay.
And you already made it, freaks.
You're not going to take any, you're not going to drink any apple juice between,
or eat any apples between now and Monday?
No, I will eat a couple of apples. Oh, yes, I will.
Yeah.
sense, the Kalanis are good, like anything else, to a limited extent.
I tell you, since I did the Purim, my elimination is so good now. Just from doing the Purim. Like, I used to maybe not go every day, and now, as soon as I get out of bed, I can go. Without even having to, I used to have to drink quite a lot of water and tea, and now I don't even have to drink anything. Which is really amazing. So it's probably, so it's good toxicity in the body. Stops, I don't know, it's sluggish. It's a lot of systems.
send it into its testing laboratory. It won't cost you that much.
Oh, really?
But you can only get one test for a price.
How much?
I don't know. You need to look into it.
But tell me, finish that story about the two fields.
That when the crops were up, Terry Reams said, okay, let's meet out at the edge of the property. And they did, and the guy's property was full of locusts, and his property had none. And so he said, it's because of the way that I feed my soil and the way that you don't feed your soil. And Kerry Green said, I want to show you something. And so he walked out into the guy's field and said, now watch, because the locusts landed on his body. And then he said, now watch what happens when I walk into the other field, into my field. The locusts were still on his body as he stepped into the field, but when he got four or five steps into the field, the locusts started leaving his body and flying back to the other field. And the guy said, wow, why the hell are they doing that? And he said, because of the energy in the atmosphere above the field. Right, exactly. He said that the locusts are not attracted to this field because that frequency doesn't exist there. And that frequency exists there and they know that this is a field for them to eat. And that's a field for them to leave alone.
And the one they're eating is organic?
Yeah.
But they're both kind of organic, really.
No, they're not both organic. Harry Reams would never call this field organic.
But I thought he was being rock phosphate.
He is, but still, they don't call that organic.
Right.
They call organic, his field is better than organic. Because organic happens to be a word that has, Norman Walker says that organic means that it's alive, that it has a life force in it. So for Norman Walker, anything that has a life force in it is organic. He doesn't care whether they're pesticides or
no.
And all that stuff, artificial fertilizers in it. As long as it's alive, he says it's organic. Mm-hmm. Well, the organic people have said that we want to call organic only what doesn't have artificial fertilizers and artificial man-made pesticides. Man-made fertilizers and man-made pesticides. Because they say all man-made pesticides and all man-made fertilizers are toxic, which is bullshit. You know? And so they now have taken over that word and taken legal ownership of that word so that you can't call your carrot organic even though it's an organic.
So ridiculous.
Even though it's an organic plant.
God.
And even though your field is alive, you can't call it organic. You know, because organic has now been redefined to mean that. Well, so now there's a whole thing where they're saying there's organic milk and there's grass-fed milk.
Jesus Christ.
But grass-fed milk is superior to organic milk because these organic dairies up in Vermont,
they don't grass-feed their cows.
They got their cows in the fucking barn and they're sick with mastitis and all kinds of shit. And they're feeding them organic grain the cows are sick. But the milk is organic, and so Melanie buys it because she's locked into that system of thinking.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. Crazy, isn't it?
No, and Terry Reams knew a long time ago, way back in the 60s, when they were doing this, that this is a fraud, that this is
real. Yeah, I saw this guy at my dad's rugby class, and
that's the difference between men and women.
Men are so easy, aren't they?
But see, darling, you know what? A beautiful thing about you, Steffi,
yeah,
is that you're also quite easy to please. Because, and this is the reason why you have had plenty of men.
Yeah.
No, if you don't want to go right now, it's okay. I've got it.
I busted your balls, Robbie.
Well, now you've got something to do. Now you might be in the middle of something that's important to you, but I just had an insight that I needed to add to this paper,
yeah,
so I couldn't just walk away from it because I could well forget it.
I hear you. I hear you.
LaRouche has now got to the point where he's saying to his people, the fact is that nobody knows who he really is. Because they try to define themselves in terms of facts the way that everybody else around them does. They believe in a God that doesn't exist, and therefore they don't know of a God that does exist. Oh, Jesus. Oh, that's so great.
Doesn't it shut off by itself?
No.
If there's no sound.
Damn it.